The following is a class given by His Holiness Sri Chandramouli Swami on serving the Holy Name, recorded on 5th July 2008 in Oswego, United States.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Dhitame Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gaudavani Pachayane Nivishesa Sunyavani Paschakya Vesatayane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pamulikyananda Asya Dvaita Kadadara Srivasati Gaudavakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare So today the topic is serving the Holy Name. So, oh, just by the way, we can do it sometime. I have some beautiful prayers which are written in the ecstasy of love by Srila Rupa Goswami, glorifying the Holy Name, called the Namastika. Now, these are beautiful prayers that help to really take us deep into the deeper meanings of the value of chanting Krishna's Holy Name and the glories of the Name. So I made copies for everyone. I was inspired by these prayers to chant them before I chant japa each day. Of course, I don't do it every day, but I try. And these prayers are like entrances into the proper consciousness that helps us chant, to chant the Holy Name. So I have these prayers. I can pass them out. Everyone can get a copy if you like. And then there's another prayer, set of prayers that I found one day. Just happened to be at a place where someone left a copy on the desk. I never saw these prayers before. The Sri Nama Mala Grahana Mantra. Prayers upon taking one's beads. So these are prayers specifically designed to offer our devotion to the Holy Name through the chanting of our beads. They actually include prayers to the beads. And the beads are actually, it's an interesting subject. We don't just mention it. Our japa beads. Sometimes, you know, you go to India and you can buy a set of japa beads for like 2 rupees. Sometimes that's a little higher now, maybe 5 rupees. But, these beads are actually, they're actually none different than the gopis. One time, some devotee took his beads and put it on a nail. There's a nail hanging from the wall and hung the beads on the nail. Prabhupada looked and said, "The gopis are crying. The gopis are crying." He wanted to help us understand that these beads are special, they're sacred. They're none different than Krishna. The main bead is actually Krishna. It's called the Krishna bead. And the other 108 are the 108 principal gopis. So keep the beads nice, keep them clean. Always keep them in some place that you know where they are. I guess the biggest frustration is that when you want to chant, you can't find your beads. Ever had that problem? And you're looking all over for the beads, then you realize the only way you're going to find them is start chanting, and then you find them. Yes? Oh, I should chant, maybe I'll find them. So, to avoid that, these little tips, I keep them in one place in my room, always the same place. Keep them underneath a picture of Prabhupada. I know where they are. I make it a habit to put them there. Or if I'm traveling, I find a place that this is the place where the beads are. So it's very helpful because we don't want to lose our beads or misplace them. And keep them in the bag. It's always good to have a bag. Keeps them clean. And keep the bag clean also. It's important. So serving the holy name. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavani Prasthyatya De Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So serving the holy name is serving Krishna in the form of chanting his holy name, which is the Yuga Dharma for the age. The mood of a devotee is the mood of service, not the mood of enjoyment. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, is the most enjoyable aspect of existence. Nothing is higher than the happiness that one can achieve from a relationship with Krishna. And the activities that center around developing that relationship are enjoyable. But the mood, in order to taste that, is a mood of service, not a mood of enjoyment. It's hard to get away from that enjoying mood because the tendency of the conditioned soul is to want to enjoy. Because life means to seek out pleasure. Life means to seek out happiness. And therefore, the pursuits of the living being is to find happiness in whatever they do. And of course, the converse is to avoid the distress. So this propensity or tendency or nature is there within the soul, the desire for enjoyment. It's natural. But in spiritual life, it is awakened through the process of service, not through the process of enjoyment or trying to enjoy. So serving the Lord means to serve the Lord through serving His holy name. How to serve the name? Chant. Tomorrow will be, everyone will be put into a test. 32 rounds, right? 32. We were on the Japa retreats in New York, we were doing 64. Right? 64. There's a story. I think it relates way back to 1967. Mukunda, one of the first devotees that joined the movement. Mukunda and then his wife Janaki. Now he's Mukunda Maharaj. And Prabhupada asked him a question. What is your understanding of Krishna consciousness? This was after a year or two in the movement. I can't remember the exact words, but I think I can paraphrase his answer. He said that Krishna consciousness means to engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to give the Lord pleasure. Something of that subject. Prabhupada listened, and then he looked back at Mukunda and said, chant 64 rounds. And Mukunda looked at Prabhupada, Prabhupada looked at Mukunda, and it was silence. Nobody said anything. And Prabhupada could tell, Mukunda was somewhat shocked. And Prabhupada said, all right, 32 rounds. Every day. And still the shock didn't completely wear off. Because in those days, and even today, there was other activities. To spend that much time for chanting was
quite difficult.
And then Prabhupada said, okay, 16, no less. So that's where we're at. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his devotees, I will not take prasadam in anyone's house who is not a lakpati. Lakpati. The response was, my dear Lord, we don't have that much money. Are we going to get that many rupees back? 100,000 rupees. Who said, not rupees. Names. I will only take prasadam in the house of a person who is chanting 1 lakh of names, which is 64 rounds. So Lord Chaitanya was very strict. So we're speaking a little bit about the quantity. Because tomorrow we're going to get ready for quantity. What is the purpose of quantity? Why, is it about quantity? Actually, in one sense, quantity is very important, but quality is really what we're after. But quantity allows quality to develop. Because like anything, the more you practice, the better you get at it, in the general sense of the term. So by making some effort to chant more and more rounds, it helps us to really go deeper into trying to develop the quality of our chanting. So we can look forward to that as an austerity to help us develop quality. And that's what it's about, to be able to meet Krishna in His name. And this quantity is important because it shows that we're eager. It shows our eagerness. It shows our dedication. Of course, in our Krishna Consciousness Society, we always allow people to chant according to what is their level of, what they can feel they can do. But that is there. But it's always like, okay, now you're doing that, now why not more? And that's how Prabhupada showed us Krishna consciousness. He gave us a little, and we saw he was doing that, then he gave us a little more. And we saw he was doing that, then he gave us a little more. He didn't tell us or give us everything at the beginning, because he knew there would be nobody in the movement. It's like you're trying to teach, PhD to the kindergarten. So he gave us, like spoon-fed us, one step at a time, in order for us to, be able to accept things, gradually and naturally, you might say. But we should always be looking in that direction of how to increase. Because it's a feature of bhakti that a person wants to offer more. We want to do more. So tomorrow we'll have a chance to go deeper into Krishna's name by the process of quantity. And Prabhupada said, when you're actually chanting Hare Krishna, when you're actually tasting the happiness of chanting, you will say, 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? It's a direct quote. That when one is actually chanting and tasting the happiness of chanting, one doesn't want to do anything else. It's a feature of the holy name that attracts our minds and hearts so much that we can see that it is the means and the ends. But to break through all the clouds and break through all the illusions and break through all the misconceptions and break through all the attachments, we have to steadily and regularly chant our rounds. I used to tell people, this was my own understanding, I used to tell people, you're right, chanting Hare Krishna begins on the 17th round. The 16 you have to do. When you have to do something, it's not so much of a sacrifice. Of course, you know, you do so many other things also, and those are necessary too. But if we don't take sufficient time from chanting and hearing, then really we're missing out on the process of Krishna consciousness. Satam prasangam mamaviru sambidom bhavanti hitkarna rasayana katana. That this chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord is rasayana katana. It's rit karna. It's nectar to the heart and to the ears, both. It's sweet. Why? Because it's Krishna in the form of transcendental sound. Well, therefore, in increasing quantity, we have an opportunity to increase quality. And that's what it's all about, to taste that sweetness. This chanting is actually the feature of remembering Krishna. By chanting, we can remember Krishna. It's the best, easiest, and best way to remember Krishna. It says in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta Mamiji Mam Namaskaru Mami Vaishasi Satyam Te Pratijana Priyosime. Krishna speaks this, the first two lines of this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Two times in the Bhagavad Gita. In the ninth chapter, 34th verse, and 18th chapter, 65th verse. He says these first two lines, Manmana Bhava Madhbhakta Manuji Mamda Vasku. Exactly the same both times. As an emphasis on what really is bhakti, or what is actually the feature of executing bhakti. And he gives four things. He says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage to me. Prabhupada said, these are the four things that make up the process of Krishna consciousness. To remember Krishna, become Krishna's devotees, to worship the Lord, and to offer one's obeisances to the Lord, one's homage. He said, that is it. That is Krishna consciousness, these four things. So, the best way to remember Krishna in this age is to chant his holy name. There's no easier, more sublime, natural way than to remember Krishna than to chant Hare Krishna. But to do that means we have to really be aware of the value of that. Without understanding how accessible Krishna is in the form of his name, we have a tendency to remember anything else. The mind. Speak about the mind, because that's what we're going to be struggling with tomorrow. That rascal is called mind, right? What is the mind? The mind is... Even great sages and saints discuss the nature of the mind and cannot come to this conclusion of how it actually is formulated in the way it is formulated. The mind is simply a feature of the subtle body which relates to the inner and outer world of existence through a certain process of accepting and rejecting. It sees the world in a certain way, or experiences the world in a certain way, and accepts and rejects based on its conditioned nature. So, what it likes, it accepts. What it doesn't like, it rejects. And of course, because the nature of the mind is always changing, due to its association and conditioning, elements, it keeps receiving, accepting and rejecting sometimes the same thing. You may accept something and reject the same thing. Oh, I like this person, but tomorrow I don't like him. Right? And sometimes we have, sometimes we're thinking, oh, this person has so many good qualities, so nice, so wonderful, does so much. The next day, oh, what a bum. Something like that. It's like, you know, it's like, that's the nature of the mind. It just sees the sad. It sees things from different angles of vision according to how it feels. So tomorrow the mind, so how can we control this mind and keep this mind focused on Krishna's name? Because really, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says that that inattention is really the thing that leads to all problems in our Krishna consciousness. Being inattentive. And devotion, or Krishna consciousness, to me is being to a state of concentration, of focus. When the mind has so many thoughts and desires and so many other things going on, to focus is really hard. So tomorrow, when you sit down to chant 32 rounds, you know, your mind's going to say, no, sir, not me. You do it. Not me. I'm not going with you on this one. I got some other plans. You're not going to interrupt with those. And you're going to say, okay, it's between me and you. We're going to fight it out and see who wins. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, your mind... He says, your mind is a non-devotee. That's what he says. He says, your mind is a non-devotee. So you have to make him a devotee, make him a devotee. Otherwise, you're associated with a non-devotee. You're not supposed to do that. You're just associated with devotees. And if we think we're the mind, that's another problem. Just like we know, I'm not this body. Yes, but the body also includes the mental body, or the subtle body, which is the mind, is the main part of it. So the mind also is separate from who we are. So we use the mind in order to achieve what we want in life. But the mind is not, you know, it's not us. What we think is not who we are, really. We're something different. So, there's three types of inattention. Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains these three types. He calls them vikshepa, avadaksina, and jagya. We can discuss these three things. Vikshepa, avadaksina, and jagya. Vikshepa means distraction. Distraction. I'm chanting, and I'm thinking about other things. Now, in that, what is the nature of that distraction? I'm usually thinking about something material or something unrelated to devotional service. Sometimes we think of things that are connected with devotional service while we're chanting. That is not so bad, but it's still not the ideal. The ideal is not to have any other thoughts in the mind but those thoughts that are conducive to approaching Krishna in His name. There may be thoughts, but they could be thoughts of devotion, thoughts of prayerfulness, thoughts of submission, thoughts of, you know, helplessness, like that. But if we have thoughts like, I'm chanting and I'm thinking, when's breakfast? Or when is this going to get over so I can get back to normal life? It's like that, you know. Because it's a great austerity to chant 32 rounds. I mean, you'll see. You'll get there tomorrow, and after a certain time, your mind's going to say, I quit. And you're going to say, No, you're not going to quit yet. So we have to be really determined. We have to be really determined to get through it. But we're not just trying to get through it. We want to really access the benefit of doing this rata, and that is to really get a chance to... I think the most important part of this rata, as opposed to what we can receive from chanting, is the discipline that it allows us to have. The discipline. Because that discipline really is what's going to really keep us going in the future. When we have that kind of discipline, it's not so much whether we're going to get ecstasy out of chanting. You can't sit down and say, okay, Krishna, 32 rounds, and by at a certain point you should give ecstasy. Okay? I got that down in my things to achieve list. I'm going to get ecstasy on at least the 24th round or something. Now, Krishna is not like that. He's not going to fulfill your desires. Nor do we approach Krishna in order to fulfill our desires, even for pleasure. We want to do it. We want to chant the holy name in the mood of service. So we're chanting the name in order to serve Krishna in the form of the name. And when Krishna is pleased by that service mood, then gradually he reveals whatever he wants to reveal to us, whether he reveals knowledge, whether he comes within our hearts and makes us feel peace, free from anxiety, or well, he actually gives us transcendental pleasure. That's up to him. That's up to him. But therefore, the best part of this whole thing is the discipline we can get. To be able to say, okay, now I'm going to just focus on chanting Krishna's name. And to try to serve Krishna by chanting this holy name. So distraction. There'll be distractions externally. We try to minimize that as much as we can by creating a nice environment where it doesn't happen. And then internally, the different thoughts that arise within the mind. And you know how thoughts work? I think Madhavari Prabhu was saying how one person got intoxicated and then went through a whole series of other things, and pretty soon his whole life was on the skids. Well, thoughts are like that too. You're chanting, and all of a sudden you might see something, and it creates a thought, and it relates to another thought, and then it relates to another thought, and pretty soon you're in the mode of ignorance. That ever happen? You're sitting and you see somebody with a red sweater on, and you think, red sweater, You know, oh, I forgot my red sweater. It's laying on the bed there in my room. In my room, I forgot to clean it. It's dirty. Oh, and then pretty soon you're thinking about your room. And then you're thinking about your house. And then you're thinking, who's in the house? And pretty soon... you're somewhere in, I don't know where you are, but you just keep going. That's how thoughts are. They're like strings, you know, they just keep, and try to get back. And the idea is that as soon as one little deviation thought comes in your mind, recognize it and pull it back before it goes to the next and the next and the next and the next, like that. And bring it back quick. Krishna says that in Gita. Wherever and whenever the mind wanders due to its unsteady and flickering nature, one should certainly bring it back within the self, withdraw it. And he uses the word eva. Eva means certainly. That one must, you know, control the mind. Because really, there's only one problem in life, the mind. As soon as the mind is controlled, the super soul is reached. When the super soul is reached, then one can obtain tranquility. Krishna says that in Gita. So, to control the mind, it has to focus it. Now, an experience that people have, and devotees have, is that I think my mind's controlled, but then when I start chanting, it becomes uncontrolled. And it's like when you have a, I don't know, what would be a good example? It's just a feature of, let me think, how would be a good example? Can't think of one. It's like a lion. A lion, you know, he's in the cage and he's sitting there sleeping. He's, every once in a while he gets up and roars. Throw him something to eat, right? And he's quiet. But then, if you don't feed him for one day, he gets more ferocious, right? You know, feed him for 2 days, becomes more ferocious. So when we don't feed our mind the different varieties of sense objects that we're used to, accustomed to be in contact with, and we try to focus on Krishna's holy name, in the beginning it starts to get, what's happening here? Starts to get ferocious. But then Prabhupada explains that if you continually not feeding it, then at one time the lion, he just becomes like a pussycat. Relaxes. Falls asleep and can't do anything. So don't listen to your mind. One of the ways to control the mind is to, is it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. A feature of how to control the mind is learn how to say no to the mind. It's called neglect. Prabhupada writes that. It actually going to give you the reference. It's in the fifth canto, 11th chapter, 17th verse, the story of Jan Bharat. And the last, that's the last verse in that chapter, 5:11:17, and explains that Prabhupada said there is another way to control the mind. It's called neglect. Learn how to say no, or neglect it. Don't listen to it. Children, sometimes they're running up to their mothers and always pestering, I want this, I want that, I want... After a while, the mother just goes on with her duties. Doesn't pay attention, the kid goes away and does something else. So after a while, the mind just keeps pestering us for sense objects or sense gratification. We just learn to say no. Say no. So this vikshepa, this inattention that is based on distraction, just don't focus on it, that's all. Just keep coming back to the mantra, keep coming back to the mantra, keep coming back to the mantra. The thoughts come, again go back to the sound. Thoughts come, go back to the sound, like that. And after a while, you become more and more absorbed in the sound. So distraction will be there. But just fight it. The second is al-dakshina. Al-dakshina means apathy. No enthusiasm to chant. It's like lackadaisical, a mood of routine, mechanical. But chanting really means put our heart, mind, attention into the holy name. Not just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, 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 that's cool. But you don't learn shit like that. Giddy, 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 giddy. Krishna. So, this is like lackadaisical attitude. It's not so good. We should be really enthusiastic to hear nicely, to chant nicely, to concentrate, to put our attention. It's a meditation, so it takes some effort. There should be some effort there. So, this lackadaisical attitude. And the last is jhajya. Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains this jhajya means sleep. That one sometimes is sleepy, and when one chants, one starts to get sleepy. Now, I could tell you something interesting. that you may find helpful to know, that brain waves, there are different, the scientists have understood how brain waves work. They work at different speeds according to the activities of the brain. Now, the state of meditation is the state of the brain waves slowing down, really going slow. And the state of sleep is the state of the brain waves going slow, too. So the state of sleep and brain waves and meditation state are very similar, almost exactly alike. The only difference is that one is no, there's no conscious, and the other one is conscious, complete consciousness. So sometimes as we're concentrating, we're slowing the brain waves down and we're starting to concentrate. The element of sleep can also enter in, and one can become relaxed and lose consciousness. So just be aware of that. Sometimes we say, oh, he's in deep meditation. Really? I think he's sleeping. He looks like he's really enjoying his meditation. So we try to avoid that. It's a feature of, you know, of chanting, that sometimes if we're tired, it happens. And sometimes we do that. Because when we sit down and chant, sometimes we feel tired. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, do whatever is necessary to stay awake. And of course we can also walk around. But you should know one thing, that when you walk around, there is a greater tendency to become distracted. It's not that you shouldn't walk around. In fact, it can be very helpful to walk around. Sometimes getting the body energy moving helps to keep us awake and helps to bring the mind a little clearer. But at the same time, be careful of the distractions that may occur when you walk around. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you become too sleepy and you can't stay awake, then he says, take a rest and chant later. But the idea is to, you know, try to not fall into this pattern of sleep. I remember in New Vrindavan when we first joined our movement, our schedules were different. In the old days, it was different. I think New Vrindavan had a schedule unlike any other temple in the movement. It was wild. Mangalarti was at 4:30. Tulsi Puja would follow Mangalarti. Guru Puja followed Tulsi Puja. Class followed Guru Puja. And Prasadam followed class. And then work followed that. So we were out to work by 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. So when did we chant japa? Before Mangalarti. So the devotees were getting up at 2:30. If you got up at 2:30, that was considered normal. If you got up at 3, it means we were showing signs of slipping in your spiritual life. Really? And if you got up at 3:30, everyone said he's not going to last long. Really admire. So getting up at 2 and 2:30, I mean, you were tired. You were definitely tired. And it took a while to get used to it. So we would fall asleep easy chanting. So everyone would easily walk around, because, you know, to sit down and chant was really hard. It was really hard. But one thing we did, in the winter time we used to have no heat, so it would be nice to keep awake. Freezing. So you jump around just to stay, keep warm, to help you chant your japa. I don't recommend that. But it was like that. So, falling asleep, you know, can be a problem. So try to get enough rest at night. where you're nice and fresh and ready for your 32 rounds. Because it's, you know, we want to maximize whatever benefits we can get from that by being nicely rested. Have any questions about chanting? About, yes, is a question?
Yes, I have. While chanting, you mentioned that the brain waves goes to a particular.
Hello. During chanting, you mentioned that the brain waves goes to a particular state of
concentration. As concentration increases, the brain waves slow down.
So it sometimes occurs, the sleep do occur during that state.
Mm.
So is it what possible to eliminate sleep through some deep breathing exercise like that?
Yeah. Whatever you can do to avoid that, do some deep breathing. Also, we recommend pranayama to help us to develop concentration. Would you like to see a little pranayama that you can do? I can give you some demonstrations. There's two that you can do. This is Satchinandana Maharaj does one, and there's one that I also like to do. And you can just watch. These things are important because they can help us. Anything that helps to help you to concentrate, you should consider to be part of the process. So by closing one side of the nose with two fingers, you can just watch. You breathe in slowly on the other side. Close. Exhale. Inhale. Close. Exhale. Close. You can retain it for a second or two the most. And then just breathe out slowly. And that helps to slow down your body rhythm like that. And that can help concentration. Sometimes the mind is going very fast. So this is very good for slowing the mind down. And another one I do, which is actually a pranayama exercise, is called the bumblebee. Would you like to? Should I do that one? You know this one, but I... It's the bumblebee. You ready? You want to do? Let's try this other one first. Try it out. Take two fingers, close one side, close the left side, and then breathe slowly. Keep the right side, keep one side open. And then switch to close it with the thumb. Inhale through the right, close. Exhale through the left. Inhale through the left, close. Exhale through the right. This helps to slow down the body rhythm and helps to increase concentration. That's good. You can also use that to go to sleep at night. If you like it.
I've got another question.
Let me finish one more. And the other one is the bumblebee. This is not so sociably accepted. The yogis do this. They take these two fingers in the middle here, the middle finger and the ring finger on each, and they cover their eyes, and they take their thumbs and plug their ears like this. Then while you're doing like this, you take a deep breath, and then you make a sound like a bee. making that sound, you listen, you enter into that sound. Want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay. Plug your ears, cover your eyes, take a deep breath, and then as loud as you can, make a B sound, and then hear that sound, enter into it. Just go into the sound as much as you can. Just all you know is that sound. And you can inhale again. And then again, exhale, making the sound of the B. And if you do this a few times, as many times as you want, you find your mind becomes more concentrated. You like that?
Yeah.
That's far out, isn't it? To use a glib term. The mind, we have to deal with the mind in any way we can to get it to control. Because when the mind is controlled, then one can practice spiritual life successfully and, what we say, progressively. So you can use those tomorrow. You can use them anytime.
Uh-huh. I'm going to rest.
Or impersonating a bee. Yes, another question? How many of you like that one, the bee? Really, honestly. Without just being nice, honestly. I like it, it's good. It really helps to really go into it. It's you find it in pranayama books, that they teach pranayama, they teach that exercise. Yes.
Our body consists of five elements: Akash, Pavan, Prithvi, Jalo, Agni. I have read somewhere the nostril is a representation of two triangles. At each nostril provides sufficient space for Akash, Pavan, Prithvi, Jalo, Agni. The state of mind when goes into sleeping, it could be just made in the alertness by controlling the particular space of the nostril. Maybe it need to be further investigation to which element creates the awareness. Akash, Pavan, Prithvi and Agni, these are the five elements. When a breathing is taken place through the particular nostril, there is a place, putting a finger at a particular place minimizes one element and gives more space for the other element.
It sounds like paralysis by analysis.
Right.
Paralysis by analysis. Too much analyzation and you can't do anything. The idea is, just concentrate on the sound. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. Make it simple. We're just giving some technical terms just to explain things. But when it comes to actually meditation, we just focus on hearing Krishna's name. We're not just, technicians. We're not, chanting technicians. We're trying to figure out what's going on. So if we just hear the holy name, then that's the best we can. I wouldn't worry about all these things so much, because you can get so much bogged down with all the technology that you just don't think about. It's just like Prabhupada tells the story of the caterpillar that was a centipede. It was an expert dancer. So was the caliper and the centipede. Expert dancer. So another bug came to him and said, "Oh, you dance so nicely. When you move, do you take your 38th foot and put it before your 54th foot? And then the 67th foot comes in at that time? Or is it... So the centipede was thinking, you know, I don't really know. So he was starting to analyze when he couldn't dance. So that's called paralysis by analysis. So I have to be careful not to get over to analytic. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada thought that, sorry. Any other questions? Jai Jagannath. Oh, does Mataji have a question? Okay.
I was wondering if you can explain how important it is to Vaishnava Seva in relationship to our ability to actually chant the pranams.
It's inseparable. It's totally inseparable. The Lord Chaitanya emphasized that. The two things are make up this Krishna consciousness movement, chanting of the holy names and serving Vaishnava. And Prabhupada writes that in the purport, that these are the essence of our practice, these two things. If we focus on these two, then everything else will follow. Our taste for reading will follow, our taste for service will follow, everything. If we really enthusiastically are trying to chant the holy name, but we're not developing proper Vaishnava relationships, we will never really develop in our chanting. Because really, chanting is about relationship. It's relationship with Krishna. But if we don't have relationships with others, and Vaishnava relationships means not only with Vaishnavas, but with everybody. Vaishnava relationships means how a Vaishnava relates to everything, not just other Vaishnavas. So, how we relate to others is fundamental to how we're going to relate to Krishna in our chanting, and vice versa. So one enforces and reinforces the other. So as we improve our quality of our Vaishnava relationships, that helps us to improve the quality of our chanting, and vice versa. As we improve the quality of our chanting, naturally, it should extend out to seeing that actually, you know, Krishna means Krishna's parts and parcels. Krishna is never just Krishna. It's always Krishna and his parts and parcels. Also. And especially Vaishnavas, you know, dear, very dear to Krishna. So that's fundamental. And that is emphasized throughout the scriptures, especially in Lord Chaitanya's practice. You don't find too much emphasis in Lord Chaitanya's practice about deity worship, or, you know, so much emphasis about scriptural, you know, what is it, you know, there wasn't a lot of classes, you know. They would discuss things. But Lord Chaitanya emphasized three things. Nam Ruchi, a taste for the name, Vaishnav Seva, serving Vaishnavas, and Jiva Doya, showing compassion to fallen souls by preaching. So he emphasized these three things. This was his movement. So we really can't chant Hare Krishna if we're, you know, throwing mental arrows at everybody else. Arrows come back. It's important, really important. Vaishnava Seva. Yes, tell you another clue.
Maharaj, thank you for getting us in the appropriate mood for the 32 round day tomorrow. So we were hearing the same thing from Prabhupada Maharaj in the morning, that in a way we are not going for the ecstasy. So you were saying that it's a mode of service. So we are trying to serve Krishna by chanting the holy name.
Yes.
And we depend on Krishna, whatever we, as you said, it could be peace, it could be pain, it could be
knowledge.
More knowledge. So thank you for doing that. And it, so it almost seems like how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the last verse in Sikshashtakam, whether you ignore me or you embrace me, doesn't really matter. All I want is to be your servant. It seems like the bar is quite up there, but that's what you seem to be saying, that the mode we should serve, we will chant tomorrow. Is that correct?
Well, you just take an ordinary example. A servant who's serving a master serves for the pleasure of the master. But he depends on the master for whatever he needs. So we're serving the holy name for the pleasure of the name of Krishna, and whatever Krishna wants to give us, we know that he's going to take care of us. There's nothing lacking. And even if he doesn't reciprocate, that's another way of reciprocating. Because there's a reason why.
I'm asking this because while this anticipation is building, so different people may have different expectations from what it could be and so on and so forth.
So thank you for grounding us. And
when I go to those japa retreats, I get a little nervous because it seems like sometimes the people think that, okay, here now we're going to get to bliss. This is bliss loka. Where comes the bliss loka? It's not about bliss. It's about appreciating, glorifying, becoming more attracted to chanting. That's what it's about. It's not about bliss. Bliss, it says that I think there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. One who doesn't hate illumination when it comes, or something like that.
It's happiness in the mode of goodness.
Happiness in the mode of goodness.
Doesn't hate illumination when it's present or not.
Longing for it when it's absent. Yeah, it doesn't. So we're not merchants. We're not trying to purchase something. Kind of serve, that's all. If we can just be happy with the process, then Krishna he always reciprocates. You don't have anything to worry about. He'll do his part. Krishna is very kind. And even Prabhupada used to say, you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. So any effort is always reciprocated by him. So there's nothing to aspire for, but then to try to please him in our service. Please him, please the devotees, that's all. Yes.
From what Jagadananda Prabhu was saying, I just had a thought. How the third verse of Sikshashtakam, the mood is similar to the eighth verse. But the eighth verse specifically is...
Well, if you want to know the eighth verse, that's Radharani.
Yeah, so that's...
Third verse is us.
Right. It's the obvious difference. So that's more... He was asking, is that the mood we should be focusing on? And I was thinking...
I'll go back to the third verse.
That's the
eighth verse is a little bit... It's like Prema. It's actually, you want to know, it's Sambhog. The seventh verse is Vipalamba, and the eighth verse is Sambhog. Which Vipalamba means worshipping Krishna in separation, and the eighth verse is worshipping Krishna in meeting. And then, through the mood of separation, one comes to the mood of meeting Krishna, even within separation. So, we chant it every day, and we can be, what we say, theoretically accepting that idea that if Krishna, you know, decides to take everything away, tries to take, destroys everything, I'm still his worshipable Lord unconditionally. But we have a hard time with that. In other words, Radharani is going to love Krishna no matter what he does to her. It doesn't matter. But we have that kind of unconditional love. I mean, it's not something you can just jump up to. You can't just jump up to that platform. You just have, that is a process of purification of the heart. That's prema bhakti. The last two verses are prema bhakti. The third verse is nishta. And the third verse is nishta, steadiness. So the third verse teaches you how to become steady in your Krishna consciousness by cultivating this mood of devotion. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others is the mood we serve in that develops steadiness. And from steadiness, the fourth verse is ruchi. Nadanam najanam nasundarim. Then we develop ruchi, or taste, from the steadiness. So I think we should first focus on the third verse, because that's where we're, where we can practice Krishna consciousness successfully. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Any other questions? Oh, okay. Hare Krishna.
In continuation to what Jindan Prabhu asked, we just heard this whole lecture about serving the holy name, but either before or during chanting, we never say we are going to serve the holy name. It's just either the struggles while chanting, or it's some happening that we get by seeing some purification happening. So it's never the
we're not aware of it. We're not aware we're serving the name by chanting, is that? As opposed to when we do something, we're more aware of it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's our conditioned nature. But chanting is the best service. Everything is service, but in this age, that service is the means for self-realization, for purification of the heart. So we're not used to, because we're conditioned souls, we function within the modes. And the mode of passion is the mode of doing. Whereas the mode of goodness is the more of a mode of contemplation, not so much doing. So we can relate to that in the sense that we can say prayer. There's certain prayers that we can. It's nice to there's certain prayers that we can pray before we actually begin our japa. That helps us enter into that mood of. You know, serving the holy name. These prayers by Rupa Goswami are beautiful. You can chant those. I think that's a nice exercise to begin before we just trying to charge into the holy name. Chant some prayers. But it is a service. We're serving Krishna by serving His holy name. We can only approach the Absolute Truth through service. There's no other way. You can't approach Krishna in any other way. Even within the rasas, friendship, parental affection and conjugal love, the mood of service is always is there within the relationship. So it's always service coupled by a certain mood like that. So what is our mood? We're begging for the mercy of the name by serving the name. You don't have to kind of like put all this in your mind. At the beginning you may do that, and then when you go into the chanting, just try to hear nicely. That's all. You can try to hear nicely, that's enough. And through the hearing process, you awaken in the process of concentration. As concentration increases, then it becomes more meditative. So just try to hear. That's the best. Anything else? Yes. Microphone person.
Maharaj, you mentioned about contemplation is more of goodness and...
More of the mode of goodness. Passion is a mode of getting things done, just doing things.
Could you please elaborate on that?
I don't have to elaborate on that. You know that better than I do. Devotional service, in the real term of the word, is transcendental to all the three modes. But the mode of passion is the mode of doing something in order to get something. It's a fruit of activity. When you do something for some result, that's the mode of passion. When you do something as a service, that's the mode of, that's transcendental. And how you act within the nature of the activity, you know, will determine pretty much, you know, a different mode. So when you're chanting, you know, don't try to get something out of it. Just try to hear. That's all. If we're looking for something through the chanting, try to hear. Just try to hear. Krishna's name is all attractive, and once the mind starts getting attracted to the process of hearing, and the hearing goes on, and then the mind just keeps on, it just flows, it starts to flow. But we have to get to that point. We're just used to seeing success in terms of achievements or results. And that's somewhat opposite of how bhakti works. Bhakti is not based on, you know, getting results. The results come in the form of purification of the heart, awakening with knowledge within oneself, detachment from, you know, from the material life. These are the real results, not something tangible or, you know, something you can... So we chant to purify our heart, we chant to meet Krishna in His holy name, we chant to serve Krishna in the form of the holy name. That's nice, these are all nice. But if that doesn't happen, then it doesn't mean we give up on the chanting. We become less enthusiastic. You want to say something else? Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? Questions? Oh, okay.
Thank you very much for elaborating on how we cannot chant creatively. This was the exact struggle which I faced in chanting this way.
Chant, what was that word you used?
Like having fruitive intention.
Yeah.
My question is, like you were saying about that chanting and Vaishnava Seva is inseparable.
Yes. We can remember that. We learned a lot.
But sometimes there are situations where I have to choose, you know, either I sit and chant or render some service to, you know, husband or, you know, any other devotee. So I want to understand what is exactly the Vaishnava Seva, and, you know, if you can elaborate a little more on that.
Well, your husband's working all day and he comes home and says, "Where's the dinner?" He said, "Oh, it's chanting chapa." I was doing the highest activity. You might have a purport to your response. So you have to kind of like see what is time, place, and circumstance. So part of being a devotee means to be organized. And of course, the process of organization is an ongoing thing. It's not something you just do and then it becomes successful. You always have to work towards developing organization in our life. And that's a future of sometimes we have to decide what is the most important thing at that time. Like that.
Well, you should also, well, you should have decided right not to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Brother Hari made a nice point. He said, you know, Mother Yasoda was feeding Krishna, and then the milk was going off on the stove, and she left Krishna, and Krishna thought it was a bad choice. He decided to make a mess of the house. So time, place, and circumstance. It's always... I mean, if... I think, what is the... The right. If we have the right intention, Krishna will give us the right intelligence. We want to do the right thing. You know, we're not perfect. If we make a mistake, but we're honestly trying, it's not such a big thing. And if we're willing to be corrected when we do something off, then that shows we're sincere.
Center have become inspired to arrange for an event where there's a public Harinam here in nearby Naperville, downtown. So this is a plug for the event. Friday, August 1st. On Riverwalk in Naperville, the Grand Pavilion. So this is going to be posted up. Those of you that are from the Chicago area and are inspired to take part in a public Harinam, when you see this flyer, that's what it's about. And it was inspired by some devotees who came for their first association with ISKCON devotees at this event last year. And now they're wanting to bring the holy name to the public. Serving the holy name. Very, very, very nice guy.
Thank you.
We'll move into the setting here, time again.
Okay. I think we're on to Parahari Prabhu, the holy name. All this philosophy gets to, you know, we get to the essence. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada. Ki Jai. Hari Nam.